Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1981 that Warner Elektra Atlantic, WEA, records increased the price of the 45 RPM records to what price? Was it A, up to $4.19? Was it B, up to $2.56? Was it C, up to $1.98? Or was it D, up to 75 cents? The price of 45 RPM records increased to what in 1981? And question number two, which of the following is true about the song Auld Lang Syne? A, it was based on an 18th century poem. B, it translates as old long since. Is it C, it was influenced by Scottish poet Robert Burns? Or is it D, all of the above are true about the song Auld Lang Syne? Auld Lang Syne, what is the truth about this song anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of December 26th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1939 that W.C. Handy recorded the classic St. Louis Blues. That happened today, back in 1939. And it was 42 years ago today, 1983, that Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys drowned while swimming near his boat in the harbor at Marina del Rey, California. 1983 today. Finally, in transitions, here's a list of just a very few of the musical stars who left us over the months of this past year, 2025. Peter Yarrow, 86, of Peter, Paul, and Mary. On January the 7th, of bladder cancer was the cause of death. Marianne Faithfull, 78, singer-songwriter, actress, January 30th, undisclosed cause. Roberta Flack, 88, singer-songwriter, February 24th, lateral sclerosis. Richard Chamberlain, 90, March 29th, actor and singer, stroke was the cause. Johnny Tillotson, 86, singer and songwriter, on April 1st, of Parkinson's disease. Rick Derringer, 77, The McCoys, May 26th, undisclosed cause. Brian Wilson, 82, The Beach Boys, June the 11th, respiratory arrest. Lou Christie, 82, pop and soft rock, singer-songwriter, on June the 18th, of cancer. Bobby Sherman, 81, singer and actor, June 24th, stage 4 cancer. Connie Francis, 87, singer and actress, July 16th, of pneumonia. Chuck Mangione, 84, jazz trumpet and composer, July 22nd, natural causes. Ozzy Osbourne, 76, Black Sabbath, July 22nd, heart attack, and Tom Lehrer, 97, singer and songwriter, July 26th, natural causes. So on to the music from our musical genres.
All I wanna do is have a little fun before I die.
Sheryl Crow introduces our country music news entitled Casey Musgraves, and this is written by Nolan Feeney in Entertainment's First Look issue 2018. It's a review of Casey Musgraves' new album, Golden Hour. Major life changes inspired some of the songwriter's most heartfelt tunes to date. Late last year, during the early stages of making her fourth LP, the country singer found herself at a crossroads as she reflected on the end of her 20s and prepared to walk down the aisle. There are certain junctures in your life where you can't really think your way through. You have to feel your way through, says Musgraves, 29, who married musician Rustin Kelly in October. Making this album, it's like leading heart first, and following her heart meant writing some of the most genuine love songs of her career, as well as trying out new styles. Though she once expressed interest in making a reggae or surf rock album next, Musgraves describes her new LP as putting a trippy twist on her sound, citing the Bee Gees, Sade, and Neil Young as influences. She also got encouragement from Sheryl Crow, who's singing in the background now, who let Musgraves record in the studio above her horse stable and would occasionally pop in. She has Guinness on tap, so she would have a Guinness with us, Musgraves says. We ended up talking about reincarnations one night and getting so heady. I was like, this is amazing. Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata introduces today's classical music news. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 21st of December, 2017. All the keys on this piano are tuned to one single note. How does it make Beethoven sound? What does a piano sound like if all the notes are tuned to exactly the same pitch? An exceptionally strange version of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, that's what. For a recent ad campaign, Android came up with the perfect metaphor for society. Honestly, a piano. The thinking is that all the notes on a piano are together, but different. So if you make all the notes the same rather than individually tuned, then the results become total crud. Are they correct? Yes. Yay, individualism! The initial challenge, therefore, was not necessarily the more or less common sense answer that it would sound awful, but the technical question of whether a piano's 88 keys could even be tuned to a single note. As noted in the article, you normally don't think of an instrument like the piano as a master of diversity until you strip it down and tune all the notes to the same note by altering the lengths and the trajectories of the strings, which took several weeks to produce and install the necessary plate that controlled these elements. As shown and heard in the accompanying YouTube video where the Beethoven song is played exactly the same on two grand pianos by an accomplished pianist, the first of which the keys are individually tuned and the second of which the keys are the exact same note, a monotune Android performance. As the classically trained pianist, G, says, when we are in harmony and unison, but we're all distinctly different, that's when magic happens in the world.
So go ahead and hear the results by going to the article titled, All the Keys on This Piano Are Tuned to One Single Note, posted on 21 December 2017 in the website musicalchairs.info/news. Or go to the website classicfm.com and clicking on the YouTube screen shown on that article's opening page. Android's message, be together, not the same. And in jazz and swing music news, we have this article written by Angus McPherson, LimelightMagazine.com on the 11th of December, 2017, entitled, The Clarinet is the Dirtiest Instrument in the Band. Which instrument is the dirtiest in the band? Well, a study has shown that it's the clarinet that tends to harbor the most bacteria and fungi. As the school year winds up and students at primary schools all over the country are playing their Christmas concerts and returning their rented concert band instruments, a study published by the Academy of General Dentistry in the USA has been doing the rounds online. The study, which appeared in the March-April 2011 issue of the peer-reviewed General Dentistry, found used woodwind instruments to be heavily contaminated with bacteria and fungi related to minor to serious infectious and allergic diseases. Many children participate in their school's band ensemble, and often the instruments they play are on loan, said Dr. R. Thomas Glass, lead author of the study. Most of these instruments have been played by other students, and without the proper sanitation, bacteria and fungi can thrive for weeks and even months after the last use. The researchers examined 13 instruments of a high school band, six of which had been played within the previous week, and seven then hadn't been played in a month, discovering 442 different bacteria, 58 molds, and 19 yeasts. Parents may not realize that the mold in their child's instrument could contribute to the development of asthma, said Glass. The clarinet was the worst offender. The woodwinds seem to be easier to contaminate. It has to do with the fact that they're not made of metal and allow for the accumulation of the bacteria, yeast, and fungi. A year after the study was published, the dangers of a dirty clarinet were brought home to one clarinet player, a 68-year-old from Atlanta, Georgia, who suffered from the perhaps misnamed condition known as saxophone lung, a type of hypersensitivity pneumonia. The clarinetist, who hadn't cleaned his instrument for 30 years, according to a report by NBC, developed the condition, which is essentially an allergic reaction to a fungus that grows inside wind instruments. The player's symptoms didn't respond to inhalers, steroids, or antibiotics, and a chest x-ray showed that his lungs were full of mucus and blockages. Researchers discovered he was allergic to two fungi and that his clarinet reed was also contaminated with the mold Exophilia. With the oral steroids and a clean clarinet, however, the player's health improved dramatically. While even the Lexus primary school clarinet player is unlikely, one would hope, to go 30 years without cleaning their instrument, it's a cautionary tale for wind players of any age. Keep those instruments clean. And in music research and technology that's in line with one of our most common New Year's resolutions, we have this. TheHealthyGuide.net's best subliminal weight loss reviews. When you do your research for the best subliminal weight loss on the marketplace these days, there are a lot of factors to look into, such as price, reviews, and more. We looked at all of those and brought to you our subliminal weight loss top picks. So, subliminally increase your motivation to exercise and get fit and healthy. Dozens of products are reviewed in this article and sold in Amazon, including subliminal weight loss, subliminal relaxing music, no effort weight loss, the WEIGHT weight is over, hypnosis meditation for lasting weight loss, subliminal weight loss, motivation to exercise, weight loss binaural brainwave subliminal systems, and ambient music therapy by binaural beat brainwave subliminal systems. So, what are these binaural beats anyway? Well, according to this article, by Lori Smith, published on the 14th of November, 2017, in MedicalNewsToday.com, entitled, What Are Binaural Beats and How Do They Work? Binaural beats therapy is an emerging form of sound wave therapy in which the right and left ears listen to two slightly different frequency tones, yet perceive the tone as one. The binaural auditory beat that a person hears is the difference in frequency between the left and the right ear and should be at frequencies lower than 1,000 Hz, Hz, for the brain to detect the binaural beat. For example, if the left ear registers a tone of 200 Hz and the right at 210 Hz, the binaural beat heard is the difference between the two frequencies, 10 Hz. 5 points about this therapy. Number one, proponents of binaural beats therapy liken to the effect to that of meditation. Number two, binaural beats therapy is a self-help audio technology that is available to buy worldwide. Number three, there is a range of binaural beats available, each having a specific purpose. Number four, people should use binaural beats therapy when there are no distractions. And number five, more research is needed, but there is some existing research to support its use. Research has shown that when a person listens to binaural beats for a recommended time, their levels of arousal change. Researchers believe these changes occur because the binaural beats activate specific systems within the brain. An electroencephalogram, EEG, that recorded the electrical brain activity of people listening to binaural beats showed that the effect on a person's body varied according to the frequency pattern used. Potential benefits of binaural beats therapy include reduced stress, reduced anxiety, increased focus, increased concentration, increased motivation, increased confidence, deeper meditation, and improved psychomotor performance and mood. The purpose for using binaural beats therapy may differ between people. Some people may need help decreasing their anxiety, while others may want to increase their concentration or deepen their level of meditation. To listen to binaural beats, a person will need a pair of stereo headphones and an MP3 player or another music system. Avoid using binaural beats therapy while undertaking tasks that require alertness and full attention, such as driving. A person will need 15 to 30 minutes of listening time, a quiet and relaxing place to listen, stereo headphones because each ear hears the sounds in a different frequency, and patience. Therapist and life coach Deb Smith recommends that to get the full and maximal effect of binaural beats therapy, people should practice it for 15 to 30 minutes every day for 30 to 45 days. Smith recommends that once an individual has completed this initial therapy, they should continue to use it regularly as part of a maintenance practice, such as meditation and yoga. Research results? A small study conducted by Dr. Vincent Giampapa found that the use of binaural beats therapy in the alpha, theta, and delta patterns had positive effects on the human body. Dr. Giampapa found that these binaural beats improved the production of the hormones cortisol, DHEA, and melatonin. The study noted an average increase of melatonin, for example, of 97.77%. Other research studies found decreases in anxiety, including preoperative anxiety, increased quality of life, dopamine, and insulin-like growth. Although little evidence of adverse side effects of using binaural beat therapy, a literature review of some current studies have identified some conflicting data, so further research should be required. And Jimi Hendrix's Auld Lang Syne opens our rock music news. This was written by Lisa Nguyen in Pace magazine on the 7th of December 2017, entitled New Jimi Hendrix Album, Both Sides of the Sky, Unearths Previously Unheard Recordings. It's been almost half a century since Jimi Hendrix passed, yet there's still unheard music left in his archive. On March the 9th, however, a few of those songs will be unearthed. A forthcoming posthumous Hendrix album, Both Sides of the Sky, has been announced and will include 13 tracks, 10 of which were previously unreleased recordings from the prolific guitarist. The album features material recorded between January 1968 and February 1970, mostly featuring talents from his band The Gypsies. Personnel from the Jimi Hendrix Experience also make a few appearances on the album, along with special guests such as Stephen Stills, Johnny Winter, and Lonnie Youngblood. The guests accompanying Hendrix on various originals, as well as covers of Muddy Waters, Joni Mitchell, and Guitar Slim. The tracks were produced by Janie Hendrix, John McDermott, and Eddie Kramer, who served as recording engineer on every Hendrix album ever made while he was alive. Jimmy's true home was the studio. That's where the music and the magic happened, Kramer says in a statement. He loved everything about recording, and it's been my distinct pleasure and an honor to play a part in that process, both then and now. Both Sides of the Sky is the last of a posthumous album trilogy from Sonny Legacy Recordings, following 2010's Valleys of Neptune and 2013's People, Hell, and Angels. So, how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1981 that Warner Elektra Atlantic, WEA, records increased the price of the 45 RPM records to what price? Is it A, up to $4.19? Was it B, up to $2.56? Was it C, up to $1.98? Or was it D, up to 75 cents? And the correct answer is, the price went all the way up from $1.68 to $1.98 in 1981. Answer C. As noted in this AI overview, the 45 RPM record was developed by RCA Victor in 1949 to compete with Columbia's new 33 and a third RPM long playing record, offering a more durable single-song format for the growing popularity of jukeboxes. Its 7-inch size, large center hole, and durable vinyl were designed for easy handling and automated play, revolutionizing the music industry by making hit singles more accessible and affordable. The article in Rolling Stone magazine adds, when it arrived 70 years plus ago today, the 45 RPM single, a format that would revolutionize pop music, seemed less radical than simply confusing.
On March 15, 1949, RCA Victor became the first label to roll out records that were smaller, 7 inches in diameter, and held less music, only a few minutes aside, than the in vogue 78s. The size of the 45s alone, combined with the fact that different gear was suddenly required to play them, was enough to perplex the pre-rock music business. And the answer to our second question, which of the following is true about this song, Auld Lang Syne? A. It was based on an 18th century poem. B. It translates as Old Long Since. It was C. It was influenced by Scottish poet Robert Burns. Or is it D. All the above are true about the song Auld Lang Syne? Correct answer. Answer D. All of the above are, in fact, true about this song. As noted in this AI overview, the song Auld Lang Syne is rooted in an 18th century poem by Scottish poet Robert Burns, who claimed he transcribed it from an old man singing it. The phrase Auld Lang Syne translates to old long since, or for old time's sake. And the song is about preserving old friendships and cherishing memories. While Burns wrote the poem in 1788, it was published posthumously in 1796, and the song gained global popularity through Scottish immigration and later popularized in the United States by musicians like Guy Lombardo. So let's close out the year and today's program with Mariah Carey's cover of Auld Lang Syne. And Happy New Year to you.
Oh, acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot and old anxiety?
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please call 919-779-1755.